This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Praise God. All right, I'm going to continue on. I want to continue on talking about the mercy of God, and I just wrote a few things down just so I can recap. God is merciful. Remember, first of all, I started talking about the fact that God is merciful. That's the first thing that his self-revelation of what he is like when Moses, at a time in Israel's history, at a real low point, when it seemed that the people of God didn't want to come close to God, they didn't want to really know him, they pulled back, they drew back from him. It was at that point that Moses, just in a passion of his heart, cried out to God and said, "Lord, I want to know you. I want to know what you're really like. I need to know what you're like." And he said, "Show me your glory." You know, the glory of God is many things. And, you know, often we get excited about spine tingles and light shows and all that kind of rhubarb. Yeah, and as wonderful as that is, nothing comes anywhere close to what God says his glory is like. He starts to reveal his character. You can have, God could do the greatest light shows and get all of your spines tingling if he wanted to, give you electric shocks, you know, make you fall off your horse. I know, you fall out of your car. Not like Paul. He could do all that if he wanted. But the greatest thing is he begins to reveal his character. And the first thing he said was, "The Lord God, merciful." Merciful. God is merciful. He is kind. And am I talking in this place? And Karen, thank you for repeating that last week about this house screaming out mercy, calling out mercy, showing the mercy of God. That's you and me showing the mercy of God. And then Karen, last week, wherever I got a few notes here from her sermon, I thought it was great, didn't you? About kindness, outrageous kindness, ridiculous kindness, and radical kindness. And just to remind you, remember, it says not just to one another, that's par for the course. We should be doing that because we're family. This is like our training ground where God really wants us to show it. And that's to those who don't deserve it. And as she pointed out so well, those who tax our patience. Was that it? Tax our patience. You know, wear it thin. The ones who don't deserve it. And that was that challenge at the end of her message. While you're doing life, just think about it. You run into an enemy. And you think, "Oh God, why do you let these things happen?" You know, you're not overcome, you're an overcomer. So don't start crying out, "Why do these things happen?" I read the scripture. If you read in Colossians, Paul's talking to the Colossians, and he says, "To you guys, it's been granted not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but wait for it, you guys, it's been granted to suffer for him." Oh, well, that went down flat. Where's the excitement? You guys have been granted to suffer for him. In other words, you guys, God has allowed, he's trusting you enough to show his glory. He's going to put you in circumstances, put you in a place where you get the opportunity to show his glory. And remember, I talked about how it's through the Lord's mercy, it's through a revelation of his mercy that we get to find more grace. I went through the scripture and looked at that term. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I think it's Genesis 6. And it just says that. It talks about the whole world, they're all corrupt. The thoughts of their heart and the intents of their heart are only evil intent continually. And God says, "I'm going to wipe them all out." But it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and because he found grace, he was able to save his whole household. How good's that? And Hebrews challenges us that we should come boldly right before the very throne of grace. This is Hebrews 4, that we're to come boldly to the very throne of grace that we may obtain mercy so that we can find grace to help in our time of need. Well, Noah found it because he had a revelation of the mercy of God. His thoughts were not evil continually because he had a relationship with God and knew that God was merciful. Now, you can't have a relationship with God without being changed. You're not going to be changed by who you relate to. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man because you'll learn his ways. You'll pick him up. Well, we get the opportunity to have a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We get this opportunity to be changed by him from glory to glory. That's how exciting the Christian life is, because whoever you hang around with, you're going to get changed with. Well, I like, you know, I'm selfish. I like to hang around with people that I think I can benefit from. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? And very selfish. God wants to hang around with us. I mean, what benefit does he get from me? Absolutely nothing, except that he loves me. Oh, that's why I got into trouble talking about that here. Talking about he wants to hang around with you lot. He wants to hang around with me. God wants to be with me, and he wants to be with you. And he's the one that changes us. You know, so often we, you know, the Israelites didn't want to come near to God because they're afraid. Because they saw him as a judge and they knew their sins. And they thought, oh no, if I come close to him, he's going to see what I'm really like. Well, let me tell you something. God knows exactly what you're really like. And he's already written it in here. All have sinned. There is not one righteous. No, not one. There is none that does good. No, not one. So if that's your worst fear, well, God already knows it. He knows. He knows exactly what we're like, and he still wants to be with us. And I wrote something down here. God is merciful. Talked about this. Did you know that God's friendly? You know he's friendly? He's friendly. Isn't that good? I like to have friends. There's something about, think of a friend that you have right now. Just think of a friend. Looking around, the sad face, you've got no friends. Cheer up, Peter. Oh, sorry, mate. God, when I think of a friend, it automatically brightens you. It brightens my face up. I start to think about my friend, and I like to be with them, and it brightens your face up. Well, God's friendly, and he likes to be with us. You know, the scripture says that God is friendly. It tells us, you know, in Proverbs, I think it's 18. Let's go there. Just have a look. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Oh, that's Isaiah. Yeah, I need something. Now it's getting bad when I can't find Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. And verse 24. And this is a real key verse. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. So if you've got no friends, where's the problem? A man who has friends must himself be friendly. And it goes on to say, this, I love this in here, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Well, God's got friends. Do you know that God spoke to Moses as a man does to his friend face to face? And actually records in James and other scriptures that Abraham was called the friend of God. And in fact, in Isaiah, God referring to Abraham says, my friend forever. How's that? God's friendly. He's friendly. He wants to be with us. And when Moses cried out to God, please show me what you're really like, and he revealed that he was merciful, the whole context there was, he said to Moses, look, if you see me, you're going to die. So you can't look full in my face. And then he said, there's a place by me on the rock, and I'll put you in that cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand, and then I'll pass by. You'll see the back of me. And Moses was glad to see the back of God. Anyway, so, and we know that that all points, who's the rock? It's all prophetic of Jesus Christ, because he's friendly. He wants to be with us. God wants to be with us. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to walk with us. Always has, always will. And so all of that's prophetic of Jesus, the true rock coming, cleft. He was split. He was broken. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we were healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. And so that cleft rock is a place by me, really close. You can't get any closer. And it's there. And he is that rock that we're hidden in. And in him we can see the face of God. We can see what he's really like. Because the Bible says that about Jesus. When he came, he was God. He was the Word made flesh. He was God. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of what? Grace. There's mercy and truth. So not truth at the expense of mercy, and not mercy at the expense of truth, because all of those, they come together in God. All the paths of God in Psalm 25, the Bible says, are mercy and truth. And so we've got this incredible opportunity. So all these people found grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and we've got to find grace. In Hebrews 4, we have to find grace. And remember, I said a lot of people, there is abundance of grace available for us. Abundance. Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. How do we do that? We do that through Jesus Christ, not through groveling and whipping ourselves and trying on and saying to God, I'm going to try better next time. No, it's looking to Jesus. It's giving your life totally to him. You know, there's two ways, or three ways, we come to God. Well, actually, two of them are the same thing. It's either come to God and say, I've done it. I've done everything that you wanted me to do. I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl. I've done everything right. I feel that you should accept me. And God says, reject. Or we can come sniveling and groveling and whipping ourselves. And I'm really bad. And trying to get some kind of pity out of God, because of self-flagellation, and that's just pride as well. Same thing. And then there's God's way, and that's to come by faith in what he has done. Now, that's why Paul could say, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, nothing. But it's no longer I who lives, but Christ that lives in me. His focus is totally on Jesus Christ and just doing what he wants him to do. So we're to come boldly to obtain mercy. How do we obtain that? We obtain it by faith when we look to what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's why he died on the cross. That's why we sing those songs and believe him. Get excited about him. He's done it, because we'll obtain that mercy. We'll find that revelation of him will change us and will what? Be merciful to others. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy, it says in Matthew 5. And in that we're going to find grace. So Noah found grace. Abraham found grace. And there's Genesis 18 there. Lot found grace. You know, the angels that came to him while he's in stubborn rebellion, not wanting to move from the wrong city, Sodom and Gomorrah, he cries out to them, if I found grace in your sight. He found grace in God's sight. Jacob found grace in the eyes of God. You know, Jacob, he was called the schemer, and he's always tricking his way to trying to get the blessing of God, called a schemer, a deceiver, but he found grace. So he said, none of these people are perfect. Abraham was the guy that lied to one of the kings and said his wife was his sister. So he's a fearful man. And, you know, Noah, he was a boozer. He was drinking wine and lying naked in his tent. Jacob was a deceiver. Joseph, I love this one on Joseph. Joseph found grace, God's grace upon his life. Here's Joseph. He didn't find it in his own family. This is a training ground, remember? This is where God's training us so we can love our enemies and be merciful to those who despitefully use you. He says, I'll put them in a church. I'll put them in family. That's a training ground. So here's Joseph in his own family. He didn't find too much grace there. God was training him, you see. And he gets sold into Egypt. And he gets into Egypt and he gets falsely accused there, chucked into prison. And the Bible says he found grace in the eyes of Potiphar. You know why he found grace? Because he was a godly man. He knew mercy. Everything he did it to the best of his ability, and he cared for people. We know that because he cared for his fellow servants. That's why the jailer put him in charge of the whole jail, because he knew he'd do a good job. He found grace. He found grace, first of all, in the eyes of Potiphar. He managed the whole household because he did it well. He was obviously a merciful and gracious man in everything that he did. And even though he's falsely accused there, and how many of you think, I'm going to give up this, you know, doing good for God. I'm not going to be so gracious or merciful to people. They let me down. They ripped me off. So what happened to him in Potiphar's house? He's falsely accused. He gets chucked in the slammer. And he's there and he's feeling a bit down. But the same thing there, he finds grace. This is in Genesis 39, you'll find verse 4 and verse 21. He found grace in their eyes because God's favor was on him, because they saw that he was a just and merciful man and put him in charge. So there you go. And of course, Moses found grace in the eyes of God. And God said to him, I will show you my glory. I'll make all my goodness pass before you. And goodness, it means to be kind. So that's why Karen preached on kindness, did a brilliant job. And that challenge to every one of us was that outrageous, extravagant, radical kindness. You know, think about it. The opportunities you and I have every day, and not just talking about here, but at work, at home, your neighbour. Bless those that curse you. How many have been cursed? How many have had a hard time? Well, praise God. God's setting you up. He's wanting to use you. Praise God. So get excited about it and don't be overcome. This is what the Bible says. Don't be overcome by evil, but you triumph. You go the extra mile. When somebody forces you to do something and you start whinging to God, poor me, God says go another mile. If you want to have the victory, if somebody's cursing you and you're feeling bad about it, if you really want the victory, start praying for them, start blessing them, and you're going to tap in to God's nature. You're going to tap into what he's really not. He will give you a revelation. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What purifies our heart? It's his blood, it's his word, not just reading it, not just hearing it, but doing it. You know, and I have to admit, in like Greek culture, and I guess we've got the Greek thinking, we've got to understand it all before we do it. Well, God says, no, you do it, then understanding will come. You do the word of God. Do it. Just do it. Get out there and do it. You want a revelation? Do it. You know, so often we're whinging at God and crying out to God, poor me, poor me. And he says, I've given you everything. How many of you are feeling challenged? You know, I'm saying this to myself because I need a good kick up the backside when I start whinging and carrying on and feeling poor me. The problem is, see, the devil's done it. He's got my attention off of God and onto me. And what happens when attention comes off of God and onto me? Faith just does a nosedive. No faith. And that's why, you know, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he's the one that said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He says, don't be afraid. I've overcome the world. I've triumphed. I've got the keys of death and hell. And I believe in this church, we have been given a key, the keys of the kingdom that we can use. And that one of those keys is this radical kindness. It's a key. It unlocks the door of heaven so that others can taste and see what? That the Lord is good. You know, we talk about producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Karen shared about, that kindness was a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Here's the interesting thing about fruit. Do you know, fruit carries the seed in it. So who's God wanting to produce fruit? Me, you. He's wanting us. Yes, me, you, us. He wants us to produce fruit. Why? Because I like eating fruit. People like eating fruit. How many like it when somebody's merciful to you, kind to you, gracious to you, a blessing to you? How many like it? I love it. Well, everybody does. But the beauty of it is the seed is in the fruit. So the people eat the fruit and they get the seed as well. This seed, it's incorruptible. It's not just blabbing at somebody, it's doing it at somebody or for somebody. Your words were found, the Bible says, and I ate them. It became a part of you and it grew in you and it produced fruit. The word of the Lord produces fruit in our life that other people can taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Then they get a revelation of it. And I say, I need to know him. I need to know this guy that you know. Because if he can influence you in that degree, that's what I've been longing for. That's what I've been looking for. Let's stand up, please. We're going to finish here. Oh, while you're standing up, I've got two more scriptures to throw at you. Well, just to pass by you. Let me say that. The proof of those who know God's mercy is this. Moses said to his father-in-law in Numbers 10 and verse 32, he said this to his father-in-law. You could apply this to a mother-in-law as well, I suppose. And it shall be, this is what he says, it shall be, because he's asking his father-in-law to come with them, to go with them, it shall be, if you will go with us, indeed it shall be that whatever good the Lord will do for us, the same we will do to you. Whatever good the Lord will do for us, and he will do it, the same we're going to do to you. That's the proof. It's fruit that's growing. God sends his word. It grows in us and we send it out again. We multiply that word. And here's the scripture. I love this. You know, a friend loves at all times, Proverbs 17:17 says. And Mark 5:19, Jesus says, you know, the demoniac. So if you don't think you've got a friend, be challenged by this. The demoniac gets delivered of all those 2,000 plus demons and he wants to go with Jesus. So Jesus says, go home to your friends. Oh, and I thought, how many friends would a demoniac have? Probably not too many. Go home to your friends. So the challenge was to him, make friends and tell them what great things God has done for you. Another one, Jesus in Luke 16:9 says, talks about this, he gives us an example about this unjust steward who gets found out for cooking the books and he's going to lose his job and he gets called into account. And you know what he does? He says, well, I've got to do something about this. So he goes to all of his master's creditors. He says, how much do you owe my master? And he says, oh, $500. He says, well, make it $250. How generous he is with his master's goods. And he does this to all of his creditors, and he was making friends. And Jesus put the challenge right back on us. He says, okay, you use your filthy lucre, because what he calls money is unrighteous mammon. He says, you use the money that God has given you in this life now, use it to make friends. Is that a good thing? Use it to make some friends, because you'll have influence in their life. And that's all different. Use your time to make friends. Use your money. Use your skill. Use your character. Use what gifts God has given you to make friends. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for the challenge and the keys that you are giving us. Not just a challenge, but more than that, you're giving us the keys of the kingdom. And Lord, we want to see the captives set free. And Lord, it's always been part of the vision of this church to see every captive set free, every yoke broken, every snare released. And Lord, thank you for the keys that you have given us, Lord, in this church, that Lord, in the place that you have placed us, Lord, that we can go out and use them effectively. So Lord, I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to guide and to counsel us and to give us wisdom and to show us when and where. And so Lord, we ask you to open up to us, open our eyes really, to see the works that you've already planned, already set out for each one of us. You've already got them mapped out. So, Lord, we need our eyes open to see them and a kick up the backside to do them as well. But, Lord, we'd rather do it, Lord, with your grace, with your mercy, with your love. Now, I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody said?
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.